Jesus.
When I'm at your throne, it's like fire.
It's like fire.
Shut up in my bones. You're the one.
You're the one,
the one that I desire. The all-consuming fire. Yeah. Shut up in my bones. Lord, you're the one. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Oh, Lord, in your presence.
Oh, yeah.
It's like fire. You're the one I desire.
Yeah. When I'm at, it's like fire. You're the one. Hallelujah.
Oh, when I'm in your presence,
yeah.
It's like fire.
Lord,
set us on fire.
You're the one, Lord.
Oh, let your Holy Ghost fire.
Oh, yeah. Higher. You're the one, Lord.
Come on and sing. shut up in my bones. You're the one that I desire. You're the all-consuming fire.
In your presence, when I'm at your throne, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones. You're the one.
Yes, you're the one.
The one that I desire. You're the all-consuming fire. Oh, yeah. Somebody say fire. Intimidate you. You got something to give God praise about. Get up on your feet, church. Yeah.
Now all the people say,
hallelujah.
Everybody say,
God.
Oh, somebody, while you got a chance, you ought to get up and give God praise. Oh, yeah.
While you got a chance, you ought to get up and give God all you can.
Don't you know that I
got the victory?
Don't you know that I
got the victory?
Oh, don't you know that I
have
got the victory?
Oh,
don't you know that I
got the victory?
Don't you know that I
got the victory?
Oh, don't you know that I
have
got the victory?
Oh, don't you know I
got the victory?
Yes, I got the victory.
Got the victory.
Yes, I got it.
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 Got the victory.
Yes, I got it. And the people of God.
Oh, yeah. The people of God say, yeah.
And the people of God say,
yeah. And the people of God say,
yeah.
And the people of God say, yeah. And the people of God say,
yeah.
Give your shout and your dance. Make some noise. Move your feet and your hands.
Come on.
You
want to
get up and give God all you
can. Oh, I can't tell. You want to get up and give God praise.
While you've got a chance, you want to get up and give God all you can.
Yeah!
Higher!
I came to lift him.
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 I came to lift him.
Listen,
church, if you don't know what to do,
woo!
Come on, put your hands up high. We're just going to give God a wave offering. Come on and let's thank him for what he's doing.
Now all the people say,
hallelujah.
All the people say,
hallelujah.
Oh, all the people say,
hallelujah.
It's the highest.
Come on and wave your hands, yeah.
Everybody say,
hallelujah.
Wave those hands. Come on. say higher. Come on back, praise team. Where you going? Come on back. Come on back, praise team. We gotta lift him up a little bit higher. You ready, church? I said you ready, church?
Higher.
Are you ready?
Somebody say higher. Somebody say higher.
You got your chance right now. You might as well go ahead and dance before the Lord like David did. We gotta have church. Yeah!
Hallelujah!
Say hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Just take a minute and shout with wild abandon. Blow out the jets. Kick off the doors. Woo! Mighty God. Find yourself a dancing partner. My God, just give God praise all over the house. From wall to wall.
Yeah, yeah. Lift him higher.
Go ahead and clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice. Give it a voice. Give it a voice. Nobody can praise your praise. Nobody can pray your prayers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I want to thank everybody who's been praying all week. God shows up where his people pray. God bless the media team and the musicians and the singers. And goodness gracious. I pray by myself a lot, but it's a lot more fun with all this commotion going on. Praise God. I want to give God praise. We had a young man walk in Wednesday night, sat right over here, got baptized, got the Holy Ghost right in the middle of the small group setting. Saturday, I got a call. Brother Tenarius had a couple of friends come up to go in Bible study, and they both got baptized in Jesus' name. This morning, Sister Maria had a friend and her daughter here, and they're both ready to be baptized. The daughter was baptized this morning, and the mama prayed really good. She's going to go down in the water in Jesus' name. Praise God. And this afternoon, I got a call from Brother E.T. or a text from Brother E.T. They've been shepherding Sister Donna's dad through a valley of cancer and trouble in his body. And he is really in the late, late stages of that. Brother E.T. sent me a text about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock this afternoon. Said that Donna's dad had received the Holy Ghost. He got baptized years ago, but he got the Holy Ghost on what is essentially his deathbed. We ought to give God praise and thanks for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We appreciate what God is doing. There's trouble on every side and prophecy fulfilled on every hand. And the Russian bear is flexing just like Ezekiel said that he would. And Iran and Russia are working together just like Ezekiel said they would. And Israel is in the land just like Isaiah said that he would. They would be. And all of these parts, working, moving parts of prophecy are in place. And the Middle East looks like a tinderbox that's about to explode. And cultural decline and depravity are all around us in the West. And it looks like a recipe for hopelessness and disaster. But I hear Joel saying, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. I really do believe we live in the greatest day of revival that our world has ever seen. And all the trouble is just a part of the package, but I'm glad to live right where I live. Oh, somebody's coming to receive the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going down in the water in Jesus' name. And here we are, part of an experience that's been going on all day from the Far East all the way across here. And this day has been full of praise, as the prophet had said, Gentiles offering up sweet smelling savor of sacrifice unto God all over the world. Who would have known it back in the Old Testament? But here we are, a bunch of ragtag Gentiles, the halt and the blind and the lame God has brought in because the Jews couldn't come and receive what God had called them to. We're looking forward to Ignite. We're so thrilled to have Brother Urshan in the house tonight. He's going to be preaching the evening, one of the evening services at Ignite. It's going to run Tuesday through Friday, and want to invite you to go down to that meeting. We won't have a Wednesday night here. We'll have Ignite there, and we won't have Sunday night this coming week because I expect a lot of you are going to be in and out. A good number of our ladies are cooking or preparing desserts or whatever they're doing for that, and our praise group's going to be down there on Friday night. Wednesday night, okay. So there's a lot of additional activity and a very busy week this week. So we'll take Sunday night off so you can wash your socks and get ready for Monday and get your house in order and do all your homework and all of that stuff. I love what I'm feeling in the house tonight. Could you just lift your hands once more and let's just lift him up. Just inquire in his presence. Just seek his face. Just call on his name. Isn't he the sweetest? Isn't he a wonderful God? God, we praise you. God, we magnify you. God, we bless you. Praise God. Brother Urshan, I want you to come. I want you to just tell us what God's put on your heart tonight. Don't you love the preacher? Don't you love the word of God tonight? Just pray for him as he comes tonight. God bless him.
Thank you, Pastor Sutton. Let's lift our hands and let's continue this wonderful spirit of worship. Oh, let's just glorify him. Let's just glorify him. Let's lift him up. Oh, let's exalt him on high. Jesus, 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 Jesus. He cut out almost shut out. We magnify you. We lift you up. We glorify you. Oh, let's love him, church. Let's love him. Let's love him. Let's love him. Let's stay in this vein of worship and thanksgiving. You've been so good to us. We need you, Jesus. Speak, oh God, tonight in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many love what you feel right now? Amen. Oh, we love you, dear God. We love you, mighty King. Amen. I just want to jump right in here and just continue in the flow of what's already happening. If you have a Bible, I'll ask you to turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 6. And while you're turning there, it is an honor and a privilege to be with Pastor Sutton, his precious family. And Brother Sutton has been a voice in my life. And his godly example and his thinking, his vision, even though I'm not part of the church here in Birmingham, it has reached to where I have been. And when you see men of God who pay the price that he's paid, it encourages men of my generation, and you are tonight a blessed people to have the kind of leadership that you have here in Birmingham. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. Praise the Lord. Judges chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse 25. Judges chapter 6 and verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Amen. God's interested in setting people free. God's interested in his will being done in their life. And sometimes it takes great courage to step out on what God can do. You've got to have faith to step out into God's purpose. And there will be powerful forces arrayed against you to keep you from walking into the promised land of his purpose. Gideon found himself in that spot tonight. I want to talk a little bit about it. I want to preach a message that I've entitled, It's Just Fuel for My Worship. It's just fuel for my worship. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Every man, every woman that would realize God's purpose and his dominion are going to have to face adversity. I preached a little bit about it this morning. The truth is, the devil doesn't want you free. He wants you bound. He wants you tied up. He wants you inhibited by sin. If the devil can make you hate, if the devil can fill you with lust, if the devil can keep you bound in false doctrine, you'll never realize the beauty of what God can do. I don't know about you, but I like what I feel here tonight. There is no drug that can give you what we feel here tonight. There is no illicit experience. There is no high. There is no experience in this world worth what we have in this house right now. I feel power in the house right now. I feel devil chasing power. I feel sin remitting power. I feel healing. Oh, that's right. Healing for your body and your spirit. I feel that power. In this, I just want to know, is there somebody in here that can say amen? I can feel his presence. I can feel his quickening. I can feel he's moving in this place. I like how they said it. Let the people of God say. Amen. I was saying. I was screaming. There's no reason to stay locked up. Come to an apostolic church like this. I know I know you want to join us. You can sit back there with arms folded and say, I can't, but I'm here to tell you, you can, you can. Well, I want to, but get rid of the but and just come on. When the angel starts troubling the water, don't let anybody hold you from getting in. Get in the water. The angel's here. The presence of God is here. His virtue is here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. The portion of scripture that I've read it's about Gideon. And Gideon asks questions that a lot of modern people ask. He asks, where is the power of God? He asks, why are God's enemies, why do they have dominion over us? I read the stories of God's power, but I don't see it in my day. I'm going to tell you right now that if you're asking those kinds of questions, where are the miracles? Where is the power? If I'm a Christian, I was talking to the young brother this morning. He said, I grew up in a church, but I didn't have the power to do what was right. If you're finding out you don't have the power, I assure you, the problem isn't with God. Amen. His promises, they are sure. His arm is not short. His promise is not slack. Amen. God is able to reach. God is able to pull. God is able to do. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or ever think. Oh, hallelujah. And if there's a lack of spiritual dominion, it's not because God's not able. It's because there's something wrong down here. God's in the healing business. God's in the saving business. God's in the delivering business. God is in that. He works in that domain. A lot of times if God's not working, it's not because he's not able. It's because we've got him locked in a box. We have a preconception and presupposition. Those are fancy words. They mean thoughts you think before you get to God. Somebody else planted something in your mind. Some experience caused you to think that this is reality. And you embrace that reality. You don't even think about it anymore. It is your reality. And if that's the case, then God can't do what he wants to do. That's the spirit that Jesus ran into when he came to the village. And he had been healing people, raising the dead, casting out devils. And when he walked in the village, they looked at each other and they said, isn't this Joseph and Mary's boy? So locked into that familial, casual, low place of estimation, that low point of respect in their minds, the Bible says that he could do no great miracle there. Except heal a few sick folks. And the Bible says that he marveled at their unbelief. I just think that tonight, that, and I think that Birmingham does this very well, we need to kick open the doors of our presuppositions and say, you know what? I'm going to get rid of what I think God is, and I'm going to let God be what he is. There is no restraint to God. And if there is a restraint, it's in my head. So set me free, Jesus. Tear it out of me. Pull it out of me. I want you to have power. I want you to have dominion. You can save my teenagers. You can put my marriage together. You can pull me out of my addiction. You can set my feet on a solid rock. There is no restraint to God. The restraint's in me. Formidable, formidable things will hold you captive. Most people don't take into consideration their view of reality. And they assume that it is reality. And because they assume it's reality, they act upon it. They have faith in it, and they never could imagine life being any other way. And this is where Gideon found himself. He found himself a prisoner of his own culture. He was a prisoner of his upbringing. He was living a life that his father had built for him. And he's looking around and saying, man, if this is dominion, I don't want it. If this is God's promises, what in the world are we doing? He was over in the corner threshing wheat in the wine press. It was all turned around. That the spirit, that the climate of God's people wasn't what it was supposed to be. They weren't living in dominion. They weren't living in power. They weren't overcoming. But someone else had power over them. And that's where they found themselves. He's hiding. Whenever I see him threshing wheat in the wine press, I always think of people that are ashamed to praise God. I always think of people that are ashamed that they're Christian. I always think of somebody sitting over in the corner hoping nobody figures out that they are what they really are. I don't think the church needs to take a back seat. I don't think people need to duck their heads in the school hallway. I don't think people need to quietly sit while they're on the job. I don't think we need to thresh wheat in the wine press. I think we need to get out on Front Street and say, this is who I am. This is what I do. You want to know how we praise him? You want to know how we get down? We get down like that. We have a Holy Ghost party. We cast out devils. We speak with new tongues. And in a world where everybody's coming out of the closet, I might as well come out of my apostolic closet and say, this is what church is all about. This is what it takes to have dominion. I'm coming out of the wine press and I'm getting on Front Street. Amen. Hey, it's not easy to confront your past. It's not easy to confront your parents' ways. It's not easy to admit that it might be wrong. Powerful structures, powerful idols, things built by someone else. And that's the deal. If you look around your life and you see, if you see a place of demonic dimension, you're not having the victory. You're not feeling God's power. It's not working. A lot of people in denomination look around and say, if this is saved, what in the world happens when I'm lost? I hear that I'm supposed to lay hands on the sick, but I don't see it. I hear that I'm supposed to have power, but I don't have it. I hear that I'm supposed to see miracle signs and wonders, but I don't see them. I read the book of Acts, but that's not what my church looks like. When you are living in a damaged spiritual climate, when you are living in a place of subjection to the wicked one, you'll find out that there are bad things. And when Israel lived that way, their crops would fail. Their enemies would come in from the outside. They would lose the dominion that they have. If church services dry up, here's the point. I don't want to look at the outside to see what's wrong, because the problem really wasn't the Midianites that oppressed them. The problem wasn't really famine. It wasn't really all the other stuff. All of those were things that came about because of something going on in Israel. And the problem was, we aren't living the way we're supposed to live. We're not talking the way we're supposed to talk. We've got idols set up. And the problem is not the Midianites. That's just the branch. The root is the idol set up in my dad's house. And I need to take care of business in here. If I'll take care of business in here, God will take care of business out there. God will bring dominion. God will bring power. But I've got to chop some things down before I can get victory in my life. God said, go into your father's idol and start chopping it down. I'm talking about a tall order. I'm talking about when you start making decisions that aren't popular. And you say, you know what? God's word says this. I'm going to live like this. When you start to make decisions to get rid of things that have been normal, things that even though they bring a curse, they are everybody else's normal around you. When you make decisions to skip the Super Bowl party and go to church instead, you're chopping down an idol. When you make decisions to delete people out of your cell phone, you're chopping down an idol. Hallelujah. You have to begin to look at some things in your life and say, you know what? That's not of God. I'm not going to let that control me anymore. I'm not going to let that stop me anymore. When people realize you're not going out to the club with them after work any longer, you're chopping down an idol. When you don't drink with the family anymore, you're chopping down, you're chopping down, you're chopping down an idol. You've got to grab an axe and start getting with it around you. Anything that's not of God, it's got to go. Anything that's not like Jesus, I'm getting it out. It's not that I hate anybody, it's that I love Jesus. I'm not trying to leave you. I'm trying to go to him. And so I'm chopping down some attitudes, and I'm chopping down some habits, and I'm chopping down some relationships, and I'm chopping down sensuality, and I'm cutting off pornography, and I'm chopping down. I'm chopping. I'm chopping down doctrines that have nothing to do with God. I'm chopping down religious habits that have never been able to deliver me, never been able to save me, never been able to set me free. Somebody's got to learn to chop some things down. Chop down the grove of your father. Amen. Had a girl in church, smart girl, pretty girl, intelligent girl, worked hard, great mind. I called her spooky smart. I'm talking about intelligent. Loved God, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized in the name of Jesus. She had one problem. She was a bum magnet. I know y'all don't have those in Birmingham, but in Florida, we had those. Amen. It seemed like bums loved this girl. She was a loser gravitational field. If there was a loser within 100 yards, they just started gravitating over to her. She just sent off loser vibrations. And I looked in awe as this intelligent girl. This girl could have had any guy she wanted. She was bright and wonderful, a joy to speak to, very self-aware in most cases. But she had a construct in her mind that said, you're no good. She had something built in her past that said, you've got to have a man to survive. She worked the job. She paid the bills. He slept on the couch. Oh, hallelujah. I watched this girl try to find dominion in her life, and she couldn't shake it off. And when I looked at it, I realized what was going on. She was reliving her mother's life. Her mother had built an idol, had built a construct, and there were men in and out and in and out. And in her mind, I'm no good without a man. I wanted to just grab her and shake her and say, get rid of that loser. Get rid of that big-headed boyfriend. Find a man of God. Chop that thing down, man. You're not a prisoner out here. You're a prisoner in here. The problem isn't the guy. The problem's in your head. The problem is in your finances. The problem's in your head. The problem isn't that things are drying up. The problem is you have a grove that has to be chopped down. I watched her throw her career away, get strung back out on drugs, and lose everything because she couldn't chop down the grove. Her little sister came in. Same mother. Same family, same identity, but we got her at a much younger age. And when we got her at that younger age, we put inside of her that she was a handmaiden of the Lord. We put inside of her that she's going to be like Esther. She's going to be like Ruth. She's going to be like Hannah. She's going to be like Deborah. She's going to be like Aquila. She's going to, oh, hallelujah. She got a hold of something inside of her and said, what my mother did is not going to define me. I'm going to be used of God. I'm going to get filled with his. And that little girl, all 4'10" of her, picked up an axe and said, I'm chopping down some things. I'm not going to go to the club. I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to put myself out like that. I'm waiting on a man of God. I'm telling you that you have to learn to chop down
things that bring curses. Amen. And get ready, because you're going to make a mess out of things. You know, you can be told that you're no good. Low self-esteem is a cancer. There are people that in their minds they are no good because a parent told them they were no good. You ain't never gonna be, you ain't nothing, I ain't nothing, you ain't nothing, you ain't never gonna be nothing. And they will be cursed at, they will be mocked, they will be, and what's happening is a construct is being built. You can try to tell that person they're good. You can try to encourage them all day, and they will insist that they're no good because they believe they're no good. Hard to find victory, hard to get deliverance, hard to be set free. There are constructs that can lock you down. God's in the construct busting business. Amen. This is why they marched around Jericho. We're gonna tear these walls down. Amen. I ran into some constructs in Fort Myers. Listen, there are old spirits, ancient devils, things that have been rooted for 100 years. They are principalities. They are high places. They are things that have been built through hatred and through rejection and through human experience. And when you get there, they have thick walls. The walls of Jericho were so thick, two chariots could race side by side abreast around those walls. There are thick walls built. When I went to Fort Myers, I ran into some previous constructs. I ran into racism. Sunday morning was the most racist hour in the city. White people here, black folks there, Caribbean folks there, Hispanic folks there, Korean folks had a little bitty church, but they were over there. And everybody's in their safe little color zones. It didn't matter if you're preaching the truth, if the color was right. I'm just going to let you know something. If it ain't truth, I don't want it. If the only apostolic church in town was the Russian church and they spoke Russian but they preached Acts 2:38, I would go to the Russian church and I wouldn't understand every word of what they were saying, but I'd be getting the Holy Ghost and I'd be getting my shout on and I'd learn to Dasvidanya, hallelujah. I'd be figuring a way out. Culture and race have no place. I'm preaching to the choir in Birmingham. Hallelujah. Hey, man. I had some people come in and say, I can't go to that church. That church is on the other side of the tracks. And I can't be involved in that. And I looked at them. I said, well, then you need to find another church then. Because if you don't like it here, you're going to hate heaven. Oh, you're going to hate heaven. Because John saw a people out of every kindred and out of every tongue and out of every people and out of every nation. And they all came out of all them places, but they sang one song. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. To him who is and was and is to come be all glory and dominion and power forever. Honey, this is just a warm-up down here. This is just a warm-up for when I get over there. Amen. Amen. God can do things man can't do. And they would tell folks, they would say, you can't go to that white man's church. Now, that would upset me because I'm not technically Caucasian. My family's from Iran. We have an olive complexion. I turn green. You never had a green man preach to you before. Amen. That old spirit raised up with Peter tried to keep him locked down in Jerusalem, but Jesus said, you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He let down the sheet several times and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat, because I got some Italian folks over here. They don't understand what a bar mitzvah is. They don't know what... All they know is they need the Holy Ghost. All they know is they need Jesus. I'm talking about pasta marinara eating people need God too. And you go and preach the gospel to them and you tell them who Jesus is. Don't you hold it inside, because my kingdom... Amen. Got to learn how to chop down some constructs. Hatred and suspicion have to come down. They have to come down. I was told a story by my grandpa. And there's a lot of folks here, you're first generation. It may not mean much to you, but it means something to me. He told a story about, it was the early 1900s, 1913, 14, 15, somewhere in there. And he was home. He was 10 years of age. Actually, I guess it would have been around in the early 1930s. He's about 10 years of age, and he is in his home with his father, A.D. Urshan, and he hears a pounding on the door. Now, you have to know, my great-grandfather had a heavy accent. He was from Iran. Sometimes when he got excited preaching, you couldn't understand a word he said. You just felt something. His English was broken, and he was just having a time in the Holy Ghost. And he might not have said it that great in English, but people got up out of wheelchairs. And people were like, hey, I don't know what he's saying, but whatever it is, I'm getting up too. And he was a praying man. He's prayed and prayed and loved God. And he heard a pounding on the door. And when he opened the door, there stood a man named G.T. Haywood. G.T. Haywood was a black man. And this was before civil rights. This was before... equality. There was great segregation and prejudice in that time. And in that living room, an Iranian immigrant and a black man embraced, and they began to pray together. And the Holy Ghost is cutting edge, man. Before any of that stuff hit mainstream society, the church was already involved in what God was doing. Amen. Amen. And Brother Haywood looked at my grandfather and said, Andrew, I got to tell you a song God just gave me. As a 10-year-old boy, my grandpa listened as he said, the first verse goes like this. When gloom and sadness whisper, you've sinned and there's no use to pray, that's when I turn my eyes to Jesus and he tells me to say, I see a crimson stream of blood. I'm going to tell you that as a 10-year-old boy, my grandfather saw walls coming down. He saw constructs breaking up. He saw separation dissolving as And when I look around and I see people saying this is a white thing or a black thing or a Hispanic thing, I lose my mind, because Pentecost didn't start that way. It was poured out upon all flesh. It was poured out on whosoever will. It was poured out on this side of the tracks and that side of the tracks. Every nation. His Holy Ghost is able. And somebody has to learn to chop down some groves, chop down some constructs, and say, it's not going to define me. It's not going to stop me. It's not going to keep me. I'm chopping it down. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. You're going to have to chop down some doctrinal constructs. Yes, you are. You come walking into church like this, see people running, see people moving, see people shouting. And if someone has built a construct in your mind that says you have to sit with arms folded, you have to sit quietly, You have to hear somebody quoting in another language in big robes, waving smoke around the room. That's what churches are. Somebody has built an idol in your house, and it's going to stop you from having the presence of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If you stay trapped in that paradigm, if you stay trapped in that preconception, you're going to walk out of here and say those people have lost their minds. But if you could ever pick up the axe of the Word of God and start to chop down some, you'll realize that we haven't lost our minds. We found our minds. Where did you get that you're supposed to be quiet in church? My Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout. Shout. It said shout. Shout unto God with the, it didn't say whisper. It didn't say meditate. It said shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Praise him in the timbrel and dance. Praise him. What are you doing? I'm chopping down a grove. I'm chopping down a grove. I'm getting rid of the idols that my father built. I'm getting rid of the things that have brought the curse on me. Ah, hallelujah. That's why John the Baptist said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Amen. Now I can understand why you might be scared at first. When you start chopping on stuff, it's a scary thing. You're going to incur the wrath of those close to you. People are going to look at you like you went crazy. They're going to look at you like you lost your mind. You're changing so radically. The presence of God is so radical, but sometimes it takes a radical decision to bring radical blessing. Sometimes you can be so far off that you have to make a sharp course correction so you can get back on track again. How, the truth is, this is the way they always praise God. This is the way they always love God. They prayed in Solomon's day and offered sacrifices, tens of thousands of sacrifices, and the cloud and the glory of the Lord filled the temple till the priests couldn't stand to minister as the Shekinah glory of God filled that place. It was a divine foreshadowing of the day of Pentecost when there would come a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it would fill all the house where they were sitting. Church was never meant to be inhibited. People come in, they're like Gideon. They want to come creeping in at nighttime. They come creeping in. They come sliding in just to check it out. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. You know what? If you want to come by night, as long as you come. And I don't mean literally night. You just come in kind of quiet-like. Just kind of easing your way into this thing. People come in, they sit on the back row. And they tell themselves, well, that looks a little strange. But you better be careful, because that Holy Ghost will get on you. And you won't even know why, but you'll find yourself driving back down that street again. Pulling back into that parking lot again. Whatever was in that church, man, I don't even like it that much, but here I am. They're kind of crazy. I don't know what's going on, but we are living in a world that wants Jesus. We are living in a world that's hungry for something that will change him. And if you found the apostolic church, you found the real deal, baby. You found the real deal. You found something that'll get down into your marrow. It'll get down. Before you know it, your hands, your fingers are tapping. Your toes are starting to move. You might even slip a little hand up, kind of undercover-like. You better be careful, because you're going to move up to the middle. And then one of these nights, somebody's going to grab you and pull you right up here. And if you're not careful, the Holy Ghost is going to rock your world and turn you inside out. And when that happens, brother, there is nothing that can stop you. There is nothing that can hold you back. You have found what you have been looking for. You can come by night just as long as you come.
Amen. And you have to get ready, because it depends on which perspective you're going to be looking from. Because from Gideon's father's perspective and his uncle's perspective, all they saw was a mess.
When they came out, all they saw was chaos. When you get done chopping, your life is going to be chopped to pieces. Friendships are going to be gone. Habits are going to be done. You've changed everything. Your whole pattern's totally convoluted. And the devil can go to work on you. You can let the devil define it for you if you don't have the faith. When you get the Holy Ghost and you speak with other tongues, you better know that the next morning the devil's going to greet you and say, that wasn't the Holy Ghost, that was you. The devil will come up and start to define what happened in your life. People will say, you've lost your mind. People will say, you're in a cult. People will say, you are a Jesus freak. They'll say all kinds of stuff. And you can look around, and if you are in an attitude of unbelief and carnality, all you'll see is chaos and disruption. You'll think, my goodness, what in the world did I do? Don't you let the devil define what it is. God told you what it is. This is not chaos, Gideon. This is firewood. You are going to take this and you're going to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Take the wood of the grove that your father had and you're going to offer a bullock unto me. It is not chaos. It's kindling. It's not a problem. It's a blessing. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Don't you let the devil tell you that it's bad. It is not bad. It is good. Amen. All depends on how you look at it. Amen. You got to make up in your mind. I don't care what you say. I'm going to worship the Lord. I don't care what you call it. As a matter of fact, you have no idea why I'm doing what I'm doing. Amen. I read in the Bible where people gathered things for worship and they gathered things to do the work of God. Paul gets off of a boat. And when he gets off of the boat, the Bible says that he began to gather firewood. He began to gather fuel for the fire. Amen. Frequently, what will happen when you begin to walk with God is people say, oh, you got the Holy Ghost. Let's see. We've seen this before. I've seen people get religion, give you a month, and you'll be out here running the streets with us again. We'll give you 2 months and you'll be right out here smoking weed with us again. Let's just see how long it lasts. Let something bad happen to you. You'll forget. He'll be all right. He's going through a Jesus phase. So sometimes there are in other cases, and it's the same spirit in both cases. In another kind of a case, people will look at you and say, I don't want what you have. I hear you talking about Acts 2:38. I hear you talking about the Holy Ghost, but I just don't believe it. I've seen too much fake. I've seen too much phony. I'm just going to sit back here and I'm just going to take my time. You know what? Here's what I found out. I welcome your skepticism. If you want to be skeptical, you just be skeptical. Because I know something. My God is great. The Bible says that Paul was gathering that wood, and the scripture says that a viper came out of the heat and fastened on his arm, and the people knew what kind of a snake it was, and they said, let's just see what happens to him, because that kind of a snake will kill a man. And they sat back and watched. If you want to sit back and watch, you go ahead and keep watching, because I'm just going to keep on gathering. I'm just going to keep on praying. I'm just going to keep on reading. I'm going to keep on going to church. And a week from now, I'm still going to be praising. And a month from now, I'm going to be more drunk in the Holy Ghost than I was a month ago. 6 months from now, I'm going to have a better job. I'm going to find a godly husband and a godly wife. A year, 5 years from now, when my children are growing up in the... You just sit back and watch. You just sit back and keep watching, because I'm just going to be blessed. I'm just going to be... You're just adding more fuel to my fire. I'm keeping going to church. I'm going to keep on studying my Bible. I'm going to keep on... You're just throwing another log on my fire. Amen. This is not something to despair about. This is something to motivate you. This doesn't stop me. This enhances me.
You aren't stopping me from serving God. You're giving me more fuel and more determination and more.
Little woman came. And she broke into the dinner. And she saw Jesus. And the Bible says that she broke an alabaster box. She took a year's worth of value and poured it on Jesus. And she got a revelation that we need to get. And that is, it's not about me coming to be anointed. It's about me coming to anoint him. Amen. And he'll bless me from there. I'm not trying to get what I can get. I'm trying to give him what belongs to him. And he'll take care of all the rest of that. I'm here to anoint God. I'm here to anoint Jesus. I'm here to bless him. I'm here to glorify him. And she began to anoint him. She began to wash his feet with her tears and with her hair. And she began to glorify God. And there was a lot going on in that room. And Jesus sees her and says that she has come to anoint my body before my burial. And there were thoughts floating around that room. One of the thoughts were, this is a great waste. To what purpose is this great waste? Worship is never waste. A second thought that was in that room that day was, if this man were a prophet, if this man were a true man of God, he would know what kind of a woman that this was, and he would not allow her to touch him. And that's the irony of the situation, because Jesus knew exactly what kind of a woman that was. And she knew what kind of a woman that she was. Simon was the one who didn't know what kind of a woman that she was. And it's the kind of a thing that you can allow condescension and you can allow critical thinking to stop you from worshiping God. But that woman was thinking in her head, you weren't there when he found me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what has happened, what I did, who I did it with, where it all happened at. And Jesus found me. You have no idea what he's done for me. So don't tell me how to praise him. Don't tell me I'm radical. Don't tell me I'm extreme. I was a long way off and he found me. Condescension doesn't stop me. It just throws another log on my fire. It makes me want to get down and anoint him. It makes me want to bless him. It makes me want to pray. You don't know why somebody's running, but you don't know where they've been. You don't know why they're shouting, but you don't know what God brought them out of. You don't know why they break their alabaster box, but God knows. You can make fun of me, but you're just throwing another log on my fire. You can mock me, but you're just giving me more fuel to praise him. The question was, why is she down there? And that's what they were asking. But the real question is, why aren't you down here with me? Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Don't you allow the devil to define what's going on in your life. This isn't chaos. This is sacrifice time. This is worship time. Amen. I'm going to close. I'm coming to a close, but I want to get the last little bit out. Amen. This is the same kind of a spirit that will try to stop you from glorifying God because of what he's done. And it'll try to stop you from glorifying God for who he is. Amen. David took off dancing in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And Michael looked down at him. And this is why the church can never look down on worship. You can never be in an ivory tower. You can never look down on worship and say, "What? Look at this. What in the world kind of a thing is that?" There will always be mockers. There will always be people who look on skeptically. And I will tell you this, a church that doesn't know how to dance and doesn't know how to praise is a church that can't have babies. Amen. Michael mocked him, and she had no children from that day forward.
Amen. I'm not interested in the skepticism and the condescension. As a matter of fact, David was thinking in his mind, and he spoke to her later on as she mocked him and criticized him. She said, how glorious was the king today? He uncovered himself as one of the vain fellows, shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David looked back at her and he made a statement about her father and made a statement about her. That's the reason why your dad backslid. That's the reason why you lost the ark in the first place. That's the reason why you lost the presence of God in your life. If you think I praise God out there, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to praise louder. I'm going to jump higher. I'm going to dance stronger. I'm going to speak louder. The criticism doesn't stop me. It just throws another log on the fire. It just throws more determination in my heart. It's not a problem. It's just fuel for my experience. Oh, somebody lift your hand. Somebody stand in this place right now and give God a little praise. I'm trying to throw a little fuel on your experience. I'm trying to throw a little fuel on your dance. I'm trying to throw... Hey, God, somebody step out in the aisle. Somebody get loose in the Holy Ghost. I want to stop right here. Come on, musicians, come on. Let's just have a Holy Ghost time right now. Somebody make up in your mind, I'm chopping down some groves. I don't care what my parents said I was. I don't care what my ex-husband said I was. I don't care what society. I'm not a statistic. I'm not another number. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm not gonna die. I'm not gonna fail. I'm chopping it down. I'm chopping it down. I'm chopping it down. I'm chopping it down. Hallelujah. Somebody lift up your hands right now. In the name of Jesus. This is how we praise him. This is how we praise him. Come on, Gideon. Come on, Gideon. I'm not going to let the enemy define me. I'm not going to let my upbringing define me. I'm not going to let the constructs in my life define me. I'm breaking out of false doctrine. I'm breaking out of prejudice. I'm breaking out of hatred. I'm breaking out of low self-esteem. I'm chopping my grove down. It's not going to hinder me anymore. It's not going to... How about we give God a loud praise tonight? Hallelujah. How about we lift up our voice? Come on, somebody, chop down a grove. Come on, somebody. Somebody bring an axe and start chopping it down. I'm apostolic. I'm apostolic. I want the blessing of God. I want dominion. I want power. Somebody praise him with a high voice. Somebody praise him with a loud voice. Somebody give God praise. Give God praise. Yeah, yes. Get a hold of your neighbor and help them pray. Get a hold of somebody next to you and help them pray. What are you doing? I'm chopping down a grove. What are you doing? I'm chopping down a construct. I'm chopping down an idol. Come on, come on. Let it fuel your worship. Let it fuel your worship. Let it fuel your praise. Let it fuel your experience. Come on, Gideon. Come on, Gideon. Come on, Gideon. Take a bullock. Take the wood. Come on, I need some young men. I need some young men to start praising him. To start praising him. Come on. I need some Gideons to help me glorify him. Yes. Come on, young lady. Lift your hands up. Lift your voice up. Ah. Cast down some imaginations. Cast down some constructs. Somebody praise him now. Somebody glorify him now. Somebody go. Somebody give him glory. She's on, yeah. Somebody ought to give it praise. Yeah. Come on and give it praise, church. Yeah.
Now everybody say,
hallelujah.
All God's people say,
hallelujah.
Oh, it's the highest praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, everybody say,
hallelujah.
Everybody say,
hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Come on!
Get your shiny dance, make some noise, move your feet in your hands.
Yeah!
While you've got a chance, you want to get up and give God all you can.
And the people of God
say,
and the people of God say,
and the people of God say,
and the people of God say,
and the people of God say,
and the people of God say,
and the people of God say,
and the people of God say,
you know I got
the victory?
Don't you know I
got the victory?
Got the victory.
Got the victory.
Don't you know?
Got the victory.
Don't you know I
got the victory?
Don't you know I
got the victory?
I got the victory.
Got the victory.
And the people of God say,
yeah. Yeah. And the people of God say,
and the people of God say.
Come on!
While you got a chance, you wanna get up and give God all you can.
Somebody say higher!
I came to lift it.
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 I came to lift it.
Higher!
I came to lift it.
Higher!
I came to lift it.
Higher!
I came to lift it.
Higher! Get your shout and your dance, make some noise, move your feet.
Come on and praise him.
Get your shout and your dance, make some noise, move your feet and your hands. While you've got a chance, you want to get up and give God all you can.
Yeah! Come on and give God just a little bit of praise. Come on. Yeah! How many know the Lord is worthy of all of our praise? Come on, church. Praise him.
Now everybody say,
hallelujah.
Oh, everybody say,
hallelujah.
Oh, it's the highest praise.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say,
hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know I
got the victory.
I got the victory.
Got the victory.
And the people of God say,
and the people of God say,
yeah. Yeah.
And the people of God say,
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 and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people
of God say,
and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and
the people of God say, and the people of God say, and
the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and
the people of God say, and the people of God say,
and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and
the people of God say, and the people of God
say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people
of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of
God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God
say, and the people of God say, and the people
of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of God say, and the people of
Yeah!